I'm Bryce Petty, and this is the Jets Blog Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm on 2 hours of sleep, and I'm living the dream.
Oh, man. Why are you on 2 hours of sleep?
Well, it's a confluence of awesome things that fatherhood and middle life bring to us adults. So the first is I was working on a very important presentation, kind of proposal for my new job until about, let's say, 1 in the morning, 12:30, 1 in the morning. And then my daughter decided it would be a good day to my 5-year-old for her bowels to be backed up. So she was howling, trying to use the toilet at about... from about, I don't know, 3:30 to 6 in the morning. So I slept on the bathroom floor for bits and pieces. I'm living in my own fever dream today. So if I'm insane, that's why. So
can I just say that, like, you are the fourth or fifth person in the last 24 hours to tell me a child horror story?
Oh, yeah.
Because I had my holiday party last night, the NBC Sports holiday party, and I brought Jamie, the fiance, and we... we're talking to all my bosses, and they were all telling us horror stories about how they had too many children, or how their children were monsters, or how they hated their lives. And I'm just like, wow, you're really not making parenthood sound all that great, people.
But then they finish, after all the awful stuff, then they're like, but it's really rewarding. It changes your life. You'll love it. It's great. Yeah. It's really amazing. It's really amazing.
It changes your life. You sleep less, you have less money, and you do less things.
Right. I slept drunk on my children's bathroom floor. Excuse me. I was not drunk, and I was sleeping on a bathroom floor for, you know, multiple hours. So yeah, you know, you're still sleeping on the floor of your bathroom. It's just the reasons in which why you're doing it are different. So,
well, that's good. I don't have a good transition from that to what we're going to talk about today, so we'll just jump right into it. Obviously, the Jets games are not that fun or interesting anymore at this point, so it's all about evaluation. So we're going to do a little bit of a season evaluation on this show. We're going to look back on Mike Maccagnan's first draft. That's the 2015 NFL draft, in which Leonard Williams was the 6th overall pick. We're going to talk about our favorite non-Jets story of the year, and then we're going to try to have some predictions on how the final few weeks will go, and we'll look back at those once we wrap the season up. Quick reminder, if you like this show, if you like any of SNY's other audio content, you can get that on the SNY.TV audio network. Just search SNY.TV audio in your iPhone podcast app or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. If you find us on iTunes, you can give us a rating and a review. That would be much appreciated. Without further ado, let's get right into it. Let's look at Mike Maccagnan's first draft as general manager of the Jets. Obviously, Maccagnan has come under a bit of fire this season for some personnel moves that have backfired a bit. But his first pick, as we mentioned, Leonard Williams at number 6 overall. How would you grade that? I don't think there's any other way to grade it except as a home run.
Yeah, you remember the scene from The Christmas Story where the teacher's on the blackboard and she's going like, A plus, plus, plus. Like, that's essentially the Leonard Williams pick. Now, did he fall into their lap because Scott McLuhan, you know, took Brandon Scherff and there were some other moves that, you know, allowed for Williams to fall? Williams was talked about as the overall most talented player in that draft class. So the Jets certainly benefited from it. But, you know, credit to them, they took Leonard Williams as opposed to, Kevin White or, you know, whoever might have been kind of in the mix for that 6th through 10th pick.
Yeah, the one thing about this I'll say is we're not going to, you know, look at who could have been in terms of, you know, oh, they could have had Marcus Mariota if they traded up to the 2 pick. But in terms of guys that went behind them, we'll look at that. Todd Gurley goes at 10, Trey Waynes at 11, Danny Shelton at 12, Andres Pete at 13, Devontae Parker 14, so on and so forth. The rest of the first round is pretty nondescript. Shane Ray is a good situational pass rusher in Denver. Marcus Peters is obviously a ball hawk for Kansas City, but it was a pretty nondescript overall first round in a lot of positions. And Leonard Williams, you know, outside of that top five, once you get past or top four, once you get past Amari Cooper, is looking like one of the best of the bunch and figures to be a franchise cornerstone for a while to come. The other thing that he gives them is flexibility when it comes to how they're going to handle Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson. They have less flexibility because of Wilkerson's contract, but they have a ton of leverage over Sheldon Richardson at the moment, and that they don't really need to give him anything because they don't really need him in terms of roster positioning and roster management. Speaking of needing something, the Jets could very much use something out of the second round pick, number 37 overall, Devin Smith, wide receiver out of Ohio State, has been either injured or inactive for most of this year. Was starting to come on in his rookie year, caught his first career touchdown, was getting a lot of separation before he got hurt at the end of his rookie year. I know that I am higher on him than most. I don't know if I'm higher on him than you.
I think the dichotomy for me around Devin Smith is he has a great talent profile. Yes, he played in that Ohio State offense, which is kind of a weird offense in terms of a lot of kind of the advanced metrics folks these days, they're looking at market share, like how much market share did that player have in that offense? You know, how many yards, kind of percentage of yards did that person account for? And so his numbers were low, but his, you know, combine numbers and stuff were high. So the point here is he has the athletic profile. Maybe he didn't carry the load necessarily as much as, other kind of collegiate players like Amari Cooper, for instance. But at the same time, if he's put in the right situation, I think he could be successful. But I also think, right, the injuries now are a concern. It's like getting to Dexter McDougal, right? We're kind of approaching Dexter McDougal fragility level. So
yeah, it's a concern. It's an issue. I would say that the injuries are not repeated. They're not the same injury. They're more of the freak injury type. They're not, soft tissue, constant hamstring strains or calf strains of those along those lines. You know, it's not the same knee or elbow or whatever that's acting up. Look at some other guys that they could have gotten around him that stand out right now. Devin Funchess has had a very disappointing sophomore year in Carolina.
Doriel Green Beckham, who's kind of a profile superstar, but obviously kind of knucklehead type, has not translated, right?
The three guys that I think probably stand out at least the most for me, Eric Kendricks is the first one.
For the Vikings.
Denzel Perryman, who's had a heck of a year this year with San Diego, and then the defensive back from Buffalo, Ronald Darby, before this year, and then one more. Jake Fisher has basically taken over tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals. After them. Yeah, I mean, Kendricks is the best player of the bunch. Jake Fisher might be second on that. Perryman has been very good, and Darby was good before this year. I don't know. I think that there was pressure on McCagnan to go offense there. And not just offense, but skill position. And you look at some of the skill position players that went the rest of that round, and it's not particularly impressive. Tyler Lockett and Jalen Strong went at the top of the third. So I think he went with what he had. What the Jets needed, too, which was vertical speed, deep speed, athleticism, a guy who at the time of being drafted wasn't just being hailed as a Ted Ginn Jr., but a guy who could actually track the ball, who could run more. Routes who wasn't just a track star playing wide receiver. And I still have hope that he can be that guy. But, like you say, that I wouldn't say the time is running out, but the clock is ticking faster than it was a year ago.
Yeah. And, you mentioned a bunch of those guys. I like the Ronald Darby call. I think that's a good call. And then even some other defensive backs who haven't necessarily had the success Darby's had, but Eric Rowe for the Eagles and Jalen Collins, the first couple of years for cornerbacks are always going to be rocky, and I get they had spent a ton of money. So, I'm sure people would have thrown up their hands at them getting a cornerback there. But those are, good players. Even Quentin Rollins at the end of the round there, there's some players that are, let's say, serviceable players that they could have used at other positions. So just to say there are guys who the team could have taken at other positions that would, I think, have provided a lot more value than Devin Smith has to this point. And I don't know if he ever will, although, right, he has that profile. So the hope here is all these freak injuries, you kind of push him out of the way. And once he's well, you know, he could turn into something. Kind of like, I'm not saying he's Devontae Parker. I'm just saying Devontae Parker's had success recently. Now that he's through all his injuries and kind of compensatory injuries out from the original injuries.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the third round, number 83 overall, Lorenzo Maldon, outside linebacker, Louisville. Strong first year, especially for a third round rookie. Showed potential as a situational pass rusher. The Jets made the mistake of attempting to turn a situational pass rusher into a three down linebacker. Had him gain weight before his sophomore year, and it showed. He was slow the first half of the year. It took him until the midway point to really get going as he started to shed weight and start playing in more of those third down pass rusher situations. I don't think he'll ever be more than the third or fourth outside linebacker on a good team. I think he's a very much a situational effort guy. I don't think he has the athleticism profile to ever be a star at the position. I don't even think he can be a starter at the position. And, you know, you look only five picks down from Lorenzo Maldon.
I know where you're going.
And it's David Johnson at
David Mother Flippin' Johnson,
Arizona. Yeah. And even one below, even though he hasn't been the same, Sammy Coates at 87 to Pittsburgh showed this year he could have an impact. Ty Montgomery is a running back now that he's been moved by Green Bay to running back has had an impact. Henry Anderson, although I doubt they were going to go defensive end twice in the first three rounds. Matt Jones in the third round for 95th overall for Washington. There were a few guys who made some plays and showed some potential for other teams after they took Maldon.
Yeah, I mean, that David Johnson, I just cannot look past it. Maybe I'm too much of a fantasy wonk or whatever, but he's incredible, right? And I cannot believe how many teams didn't have him. I really liked him a lot going into last year, kind of watching camps and stuff. And so, I mean, he's essentially a wide receiver who plays running back, kind of like, you know, Ty Montgomery is a less successful version of that. But I think the thing I saw about David Johnson recently is like there's the number of running backs who have simultaneously had a 1,000-yard season and a 700-yard season through 12 games was David Johnson and Marshall Faulk and nobody else.
Yeah.
So he's an incredible talented player, right? And so so the trick for me with Maldon, just to quickly say, he's my Anthony Schlegel of the Mike Maccagnan era, right?
Oh, that's
like
mean.
He's this that's it mean. Is mean. I'm sorry, it's mean, but like, you know, I mean, Maldon has shown some moments, he's shown some grit, but why do you take a
non-athletic
player in the third round? Like, why do you do that? Like, why do you take a guy you could have had in the fifth round in the third round who doesn't even have the athletic profile to say, okay, I can understand the ceiling, right? Like David Johnson had kind of transferred over from wide receiver, but you know, was kind of, you know, doing his thing, and you could say, okay, I can understand why you wouldn't use a second round pick or a first round pick on that guy. But you can see the athletic profile and you can say, okay, I can see why you'd use a third round pick. I cannot make that argument around Lorenzo Maldon. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
Yeah. And you're starting to get into a dangerous part of this draft for Mac, moving on to the fourth round, the 103rd overall pick. They traded up to obviously select the current starting quarterback of the New York Jets, Bryce Petty. Players who went after Petty or essentially
two
after
picks.
They traded
Damn.
Up, Jamison Crowder, Jeremy Langford, T.J. Clemmings is trash, Trey Jackson. Looking through this right now, it's not a ton.
Juan Dijo has seen some time with Washington, the guard. He's seen some time.
Quan Alexander is probably the most notable name from this in terms of guys who went after they took Petty, but you know, it wasn't. It wasn't a great fourth round that year in terms of selections. However, trading up for Petty obviously looks a lot worse now that they had to draft Christian Hackenberg in the second round, and I think those two will be forever linked. Interesting thing, and we'll move on to this, but I'm curious. There is a debate circulating on Jets Twitter this week. What is Bryce Petty's ceiling?
Ugh. I mean, like, in terms of, like, how good could he potentially be?
Yeah, in the best case
Dalton line. Dalton line level, kind of middle of the pack, you know, somewhere. I think that's high. We're talking about what's his ceiling, right? So I'm saying,
I don't think
he could ever get above the 16th best quarterback in the NFL. Like, I just don't see that.
I think his ceiling is probably Matt Moore. I think his ceiling is Case Keenum, Matt Moore, the, you know, backup that maybe is good enough to start three or four games for you, but overall is a letdown if he's your starter and is, you know, not the best option for you overall. I think that's his absolute positive ceiling, and I just don't think that guy is necessarily worth developing or at least taking reps away from your second round quarterback to develop. Speaking of developmental projects, at their fifth round pick, number 152 overall, the Jets selected guard Jarvis Harrison out of Texas A&M. The doubts over him were, does he actually care about football? He was an athletic freak. If you are a fan of Mock Draftable and their webs, Harrison's athletic profile was off the charts. But it doesn't matter. He's out of the league. He lasted one season. The Jets cut him during training camp this year. They didn't even go and wait until the final cutdown. They cut him when they went down to 75. So they didn't even carry him until the very last preseason game. He has not been signed by anyone, and I don't foresee him being signed by anyone. Not a good pick by McKagan at all.
And then I would say, when you put it in the light of some of the guys that went after him, you know, like, I mean, Carlos Williams had a little bit of a burst last year in Buffalo. Obviously, he's suspended out of the league right now. CJ Azuma, the tight end for the Bengals. JJ Nelson has had, you know, one shining moment, let's say, with the Cardinals. But then looking a little further down the list, Jesse James, you know, he's maybe the heir apparent if Ladarius Green, you know, doesn't get his stuff together, which I don't know, he seems to struggle with that. Like, he might be the heir apparent in Pittsburgh. So there's a number of other players that when I see, you know, and we're thinking about fifth round players, I'm like, okay, like, there's some other guys who were here that are kind of live versus this, I don't know, Hail Mary project, which obviously didn't work, right? And has kind of worked his way out of the league. And so, right, if no one else has picked up this guy, or kind of, he'll probably get a futures contract come January, but it tells you kind of what the league thinks about this guy at this point, that I guess he's not even on a practice squad at this point. Is that right? I'll look, but I don't think so.
No, he's not. He's nowhere. He's gone. And look, the fifth round picks are obviously, you know, for the most part, they're crapshoots.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. Grady Jarrett has had some plays. There's a reason why they fall to the fifth round, whether it's character issues, whether it's athleticism issues, whether it's size issues. There are different things, you know, but you look at the fifth round and we said, well, look, we're not going to judge them for players that went before them, but the type of players that went in the fifth round right before these guys, Jay Ajayi, Brett Hundley, who I know a lot of Jets draft analysts liked more than Bryce Petty. He's currently developing behind Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Stephon Diggs went a few picks ahead of them. It's just, it's a crapshoot of a round, and you basically just see what happens. So far you're looking at 2 through 5, and the Jets' best case scenario is a backup quarterback, a 3rd/4th outside linebacker, and a deep threat wide receiver. And you get down to the 7th round pick, a guy who's flashed a little bit this year, and a guy that I think both of us are high on, Deion Simon, defensive tackle out of Northwestern State.
Yeah, and so, right, I think that was, you know, a pretty good pick for the, you know, for the draft capital that they invested. And, right, if he can, you know, turn into a steady interior force, you know, if he's a backup, you know, I think, I mean, I would love it if he could be a starter, but, you know, even if he's just a backup, that's a hit for a 6th-round draft pick as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I actually honestly think that he should be the starting nose tackle next year.
I think he's come to a point where it makes sense that you could do that. You know, we'll obviously see what the Jets do and kind of where they allocate resources. But as we've talked about all year, defensive line is not a place that need to be allocating more resources. It you know, to your point, you know, one of the things that you argue for, I argue against it, but is you should be moving, you're saying you should be moving those resources to stack resources elsewhere from this kind of crowded area. So if you don't have to pay Deion Simon all that much money to be your starter next year, then that's a win, right? Rather than bring in a free agent or something.
Yeah. So overall, I would say a mixed bag at best. You know, you landed a star in Leonard Williams. You landed a situational, possibly, you know, replacement level defensive tackle in Deion Simon. You landed at best a replacement level quarterback, and I wouldn't even say probably below replacement level quarterback, and then a replacement level outside linebacker. And then a guy like Devin Smith is a total question mark. Is he going to become the star that we thought he was, or is he just going to kind of become an injury-plagued issue? Not the best, not the worst.
Not the worst. But and it, so
it's not a good sign.
No, it's certainly not. And I think, let's get a little bit on a higher note here. So I think the next thing we'll go through is we're going to talk about our favorite non-Jet story of the year in the NFL. Corey, do you have a favorite non-Jet story of the year in the NFL? Or team storyline, something like that. What do you think?
I mean, I have a few. I guess the cool ones, I think, for me are two guys that stand out. They're both quarterbacks, which is an easy thing to say. But guys like Trevor Siemian and Dak Prescott making not just an impact, but making meaningful impacts and helping their team wins games as fourth and seventh round picks. I think that's a pretty impressive thing. You can talk all about Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys offensive line. You can talk about the Dallas defense, but these guys have made plays and they've made smart plays and they've shown to be a lot more than they ever were thought to be. And you know, a guy like Trevor Siemian probably entered the NFL with a 1.5 to 2 year lifespan, right. Career year lifespan, as most expected. And because of what he's done this year, he's probably guaranteed himself at least a decade in the league, at least as some form of a backup.
Yeah, that's kind of a Matt Moore type, to your point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's always cool when something like that happens, when a guy who wasn't really expected to be much of anything kind of comes in and shows that he can do something and be a player in this league.
For me, I like this. I like this. I think I'm gonna cheat and I'm gonna say two. The first has to be Jeff Fisher's firing. Like it's been such a fun story to watch. Like the owner of the Rams just like, oh, like it's gonna be this great storyline. I'm gonna bring the Rams to Los Angeles. Jeff Fisher, you know, comes home to his, you know, to his hometown, where he played college football. We draft a California quarterback, and you know, everything's going to change, and nothing changes, and Jeff Fisher's the same, and his players are still late hitting, you know, people, and on and on and on and on, and nothing's changed. They've squandered years, they've squandered time, they've squandered talent. And, you know, so watching, I mean, it's like, how long can this really go on? Can this keep going the way it's going? So to see that happen, that's good. But, you know, I'm sure, don't worry, I'm sure they'll replace him with North Turner or something like that. they're going to want their Adam Gase. I think that's the Rams. Rams are going to want their Adam Gase. But I would say the thing, and I already touched on it, was I think watching David Johnson this year has been incredible. Like, just to see what he's done while Carson Palmer melts like in front of us has been incredible. I mean, David Johnson is the only good about, you know, the Arizona Cardinals were a good team 2 years ago, even a year ago. And it's just like the Jets, you know, it's fallen apart pretty quickly for them, but to watch Johnson kind of rise above them in the midst of that has been awesome. And I don't know why he won't be in consideration for the MVP. That's insane to me. But because he does not play quarterback, he won't be the MVP.
Well, they're 5-7-1. That also has something to do with it.
I understand. I understand that they're not a good team. But can you tell me he's not been the most valuable player like to his team? Like who's been more valuable in terms of affecting outcomes of games than him this year? I can't think of anybody. I
would think a certain quarterback in New England. I would argue, you know, Zeke or the Cowboys offensive line or Russell Wilson or Matt Ryan. I think
Russell Wilson, he's been horrendous. Have you been watching them?
Oh my God. Do you think the Seahawks are even remotely 8-4-1 without Russell Wilson? He's been bad the last couple weeks. I agree.
Bad. But this is the bad time to be bad if you want to be the MVP. This is the worst time to be bad.
One more favorite story, and it's just kind of funny. It's the overreaction echo chamber, and it plays to a couple of things. Number one, the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl, and Carson Wentz was top rated and Ben Roethlisberger combined, and now they're 5-8. And that doesn't make Carson Wentz bad. It doesn't.
That's why I love Week One. That's why I love Week One. It's
and
so
good.
And
he's just a flawed quarterback who's a flawed rookie who needs to develop. But the same thing, you know, like. How people said that Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston were busts, you know, 4 weeks into this season, or how Aaron Rodgers was washed and the Green Bay Packers were done, you know, after, you know, week 7 or 8.
Olivia Munn's taking his man juice.
It's just
he's taking up all his man juice.
It's just one of those things that goes to show that the NFL reaction cacophony is way more about agreeing with whatever is popular and bold rather than actually looking at it over a, you know, a 4 or 5 month span and evaluating at the end.
Boring.
All right.
Boring.
We're gonna move up from boring. We're gonna have some fun.
How are you gonna fill in a first take segment with that? Boring.
I know how terrible. This is why I'll never be on ESPN 2. This is the only reason
that's
why.
That's the reason. Oh, that's the one reason. Okay.
All right. Speaking of first take, let's do some predictions and have some fun, and then sculpt our own hot takes. We're gonna go over a few things, quick hitter style, and close out the show with some fun. Brian, how many wins do you think the Jets will finish with?
Ooh. What do they have right now? 4.
They are at 4 right now. They have Miami at home this week, then the Patriots, and then the Bills.
I'm going to say they're going to finish with 4. I think they're going to finish with 4 wins. If they really want to ruin us, they'll finish with 5. And just
I'm
kind
going
of
with 5. I think they'll sneak a win in there somewhere. It will not be against New England, but I could see them beating a Miami team reeling from losing their starting quarterback or a Bills team that is completely imploding right now, and it's kind of funny to watch.
Okay.
I think you just talked
about it. Go ahead.
Do they lose their finale to Rex and the Bills? I will say no. I think they beat the Bills in the finale.
They get up for that to just spoil the, you know, their draft status, the draft ranking. Yeah, of course. Of course they do, because they're the Jets. Yes.
Do you think that is Rex's actual finale? Do you think that will be the final nail in the coffin for him in Buffalo?
Had he beaten Pittsburgh, I think he stays, regardless of the playoffs. I think he stays. I think that's his finale. I mean, based on the talk that was floating around on Sunday, Monday, yeah, I mean, I don't see how he lasts, especially given the fact that he was given an ultimatum.
Yeah, and an ultimatum he set for himself in his opening press conference.
Right.
Just
so
to point it out.
Right, exactly. Hoisted by his own petard, I think is the phrase. But, right, I think the whole thing is I watched that Pittsburgh game, and had they won that game, I think he could have survived. But they didn't, and I don't think he will.
What pick will the Jets end up with?
Ooh, well, if they win that last game, like we're talking about, that fifth game, what does that put them into, like the 8 to 10 range, probably?
I am looking at the league standings currently. They right now, if the season ended today, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to say because it's not ending today, but they're in fifth place currently. 5 wins could drop them far back. It depends. There are a bunch of teams. Arizona, Cincinnati, Carolina, New Orleans, Philly, and San Diego all have 5 wins. The Rams
some of them
are 4.
Are, yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of tiebreakers involved once you get to 5 wins. If they stay at 4, they should stay in the top 5 or 6.
Which is why they'll win 5 games. It's only confirms why they'll win a fifth game. So
God, could you imagine if they win 5 and like fall to like 11?
Fall to 13th or something?
I'm gonna say since I'm predicting 5, I'm gonna predict like 9. I think they end up around 8 or 9. final touchdown interception numbers for Bryce Petty?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll say he'll have it'll be kind of a 1-to-1 thing, right? So I'm going to say that's the ratio. It'll be like a 1-to-1 ratio. So if he has 6 touchdowns, he'll have 5, but between 5 and 7 interceptions, probably closer to 7.
I am going to say 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Okay.
That's my prediction. All right. That's good. Second to last one, does Christian Hackenberg get a snap in a real game this season?
No.
Agreed. No.
I think they'd rather put Fitzpatrick back in than, you know, whatever. Unleash the hack. Unleash the hacking. I love it. I just coined it. Unleash the hacking. There you go.
Start that hashtag. All right. Before we get to our last question, yeah, you actually never gave me a draft pick prediction.
Oh boy. It's probably that 2-hour sleeping on the bathroom floor thing. I think if they can keep 4 wins, that'll put them in the 5th spot.
Okay.
Fifth.
All right, last one, Brian, the all-important. Will the Jets have enough cap room to re-sign the pylon?
Oh, my God, we need that pylon so bad, Corey. That pylon, amazing. I mean, the play, did you see that play, Corey? It was incredible.
I think set the edge.
This is gut check moment, right? So if they cut, if they cut Darrell Revis, the pylon is a real option for this team for next year. And I love the grit and the swagger and the intensity that the pylon brings to this defense. I mean, cause that defense is, they need someone like him to, he's kind of the Ray Lewis of that defense as far as.
All right, Brian, the joke has gone on far enough.
Are you sure? I could keep going.
No, you're done. It's done. We're done.
Could you imagine the pylon coming out, Brian, flames Brian, shooting in the air, the pylons running out of the tunnel? Oh, man.
Brian, we're done. Okay. This joke is dead. Thanks for killing it.
It's the fever dreams. It's the fever dreams.
All right. Want to thank all you guys for listening. Speaking of done, we're going to get out of here. We will be back next week on Monday to break down the Jets and the Dolphins. Take your calls, including the guy who tweeted at us just to tell us how terrible our show was.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Enjoy. Call in. Feel free to try to get on the show with that take. Until next time, you follow Brian on Twitter at Brian_Bassett.
And you can follow Corey on Twitter at CoreyGriffinNBC.
And you can find us on iTunes and everywhere else you listen to your podcast, SNY.TV Audio. Until next time, folks, keep calm, jet on.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
This has been the Jets Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.